Right now, it is time for our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week, Kelly.
We need to dig in. Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away is on the line with us to talk about truth. Oh, my goodness. Nancy, I've been waiting to talk to you about this because this one is a hot button for me. This one gets my blood going here, and I'm so ready to dig in. Yeah, I know this one gets you going. I know you've been looking forward to this. How do we as Christians navigate in a culture where absolute truth is adamantly unwelcome? How many times have we heard people say this, and it's all over social media, you speak your truth. Everybody's got their own version of the truth, but there is only one truth, and that is God's. How do we navigate this?
Yes, and the irony of what I'm going to share this morning is that it happened in school. I mean, it's unbelievable, a place where kids can go and learn, but apparently there's no truth. And they're sticking by their guns. So in public schools, so this whole idea of somebody speaking truth, I mean, is seen as hate crime. So it is absolutely ridiculous. It makes no sense of what is happening in this culture that is demanding that there's no truth, which is it's an oxymoron all the way. But, you know, I wanted to share this morning, Kelly and Steve, about something that happened several weeks ago. I spoke early morning in a high school to a Christian group now, not just random students, but a Christian group, organized Christian group, about the uniqueness of Jesus of Nazareth. I was asked to talk about Jesus being God, who became a man and died for the sins of all humankind. You know, this is the Jesus I was asked to talk about. And I tried to make it very clear that Jesus had no favorites. He loved all those whom he created by opening the door for all to come to him and trust Jesus as the Savior of the world. And of course, shared some scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some would count slowness, but he is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. And that is the heart of the gospel right there. It is for all. It is not exclusive. It is for all are welcome to come and to believe. So the idea was that Jesus, when I was talking and made the point that Jesus is just not another prophet, a wise man, a spirit guide, or just another God. He is incarnate God. He is the truth. He is the hope, the giver of eternal life. And there is no person, past, present, or future, for whom God did not die and take away the penalty of their sins. And this is the thing, this whole movement about trying to be quick to put down or sue somebody for being, you know, somebody that's biased against or whatever. And this is generally the case when it comes to Christians. But again, we go to the scriptures in John 14:6. Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And, you know, I thought it was going pretty good. There were challenging the minds of postmodern students, those who are very confused if there is truth or not truth. And they're struggling with this. Kids are struggling at home. They hear one thing and then they go to school and they hear another thing about truth and hope and peace and God and Jesus. And in the end, they ask many questions and I think left with much to think about. Now, at the school, when I was speaking, there are kids coming in to go to class, and many of them heard what I was saying, and they stopped to listen to some of the questions, and a few of them came up afterward and wanted to challenge me on how I knew this was true. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. We had great conversations, left them with something to think about. But a few days later, after this, I was told that it was reported by some of the students who'd stopped by to listen to some of it, that I was giving a hate speech. And, you know, that was terrifying, especially to the leader of this ministry. She was terrified that we were reported by students. And my answer is, should we be surprised? Should we be surprised that this is happening today? And should we be terrified when somebody reports us of a hate speech? I don't really understand what hate speech means exactly, neither did they when I asked them. But, you know, it's interesting here that the scripture warns us that persecution will follow when we speak truth. But I think we as Christians, and myself in particular in this situation, I was thrilled that these people had stopped by to listen. And what's so funny is what they told them was the gospel. She is telling people that Jesus is the only way to heaven, you know. And the thing is, they got the message. They didn't believe it. They were mad about it, but they got it. They heard it. And for that, I'm grateful. And maybe someday the Holy Spirit works on them. They will become believers because of what they overheard a Christian saying. And I think God takes advantage of these times to get his word out to those who would never choose to go to an event or listen to a Christian, but just passing by the class, they heard the gospel. And gratefully, the administration dismissed this, and it was no big deal. But again, 2 Timothy said, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ will be persecuted. Again, we as Christians have got to realize when we speak the truth, especially in this case, I was asked specifically to talk on this issue. I'm going to do what they asked me to do, and hopefully God will, you know, fill in the others, and there'll be some fruit coming from the most unexpected source, those naysayers, you know?
Well, God's going to honor that, but how do we actually make sense of this present age that we're living in? I mean, you mentioned it. You're saying these are postmodern thinking students, right, Nancy? So how do we explain plainly to others so that they can see the truth?
Yeah. Well, you know, we do live in a postmodern age, and where they say there is no truth. Now, they say there is no truth. Well, that to them is a truth statement. So they've already violated their own rule by saying there's no truth. So the whole thing, it goes against the very nature of how God made us. And keep in mind, a truth, the definition of truth is reality. So essentially what they're saying is there's no reality. And we could take that on for sure. But the discussions about claims of things that they don't like from a postmodern perspective are just simply not allowed. They will not entertain but their own. So if they say there is no God, nor is there truth, then discussions about such ideas are not permitted. And we cannot come against the idea that there is no truth and say, yes, there is. You know, in this case, Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And this is what we call the new tolerance. Steve, it used to be where we could have different opinions and everybody be okay with it. You know, like, I respectfully don't agree. Have you considered this or that? Or you made a good point. I'll think about it. This kind of discussion is no longer allowed by so many. And we should be alarmed. And I think as parents, just a side note here, having parented a bunch of kids and now grandkids, we need to allow kids the right, number one, to speak and discuss and share their feelings, but yet use as our baseline the truth of the scriptures to decide what is right and what is wrong. But these kids, and that's why there's such anxiety in kids today. They have no idea who they are, because who do they believe? And who do they believe? The parents or the schools, or what they're hearing in schools, mainly on and also on social media. I think it's interesting. D.A. Carson, who's a writer, says this: tolerance, quote unquote, has changed from accepting that people have different views, some of which are wrong, to agreeing that all views are equally true. So in the case of this, when I was speaking at school, what they were saying is, our views are right, you're wrong. Or only because I stated that something was true. But this whole idea of agreeing that all views are equally true, and that it's absurd if you're thinking that's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It is. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. Now, do you want to say 2 + 1 = 4? I guess you could, but I wouldn't want you as a contractor, I guarantee you. And this is the issue, you know. Carson goes on to say, he says that tolerance currently occupies a very high place in Western societies. It is considered gauche or boorish to question it. And then Carson also argues the new tolerance is socially dangerous and intellectually debilitating and leads to genuine intolerance of all who struggle to hold fast to their beliefs. You know, it works like this. Somebody might say, you know, there are many religions that lead to God, and there is no one true religion. Or might say, what is true for me should be true for you. And a person expressing a different opinion or disagreeing would be labeled as a bigot, or you're just judgmental, or whatever. But this view is prevalent in schools, in the workplaces, and families. And it is so confusing to kids who don't have a solid foundation, number one, of their faith, number two, of who they are. It's interesting. Proverb addresses this whole new tolerance deal in Proverbs 18:2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. Mm-hmm. And it's so annoying, Kelly. I just am so annoyed with this as you are. It's just so contrary to how our minds were created and how we are called to listen to one another and discuss and to honor one another. But again, the good thing is, like you guys, you know, and Moody, clearly, that not everybody embraces that.
Yeah.
And the good news about this confused generation is that despite what the culture is pouring over them, their nature, the very gut of who they are, they're creating God's image with an inborn desire to know God. And they want their lives to matter. You know, there's all kinds of research. These teenagers want their lives to matter. They want to be mentored. They want to listen. They want help from people. You know, and again, we're born in the image of God. And God gave us a soul that yearns to know God, the one true God. And this is the issue. We can choose to believe in the one true God of the scriptures or in the gods of other religions that are mm-hmm. false idols. You know, who can't fulfill their promises of heaven. Why the anxiety levels over the top with kids? This is one of the reasons. You know, there's so much confusion.
Yeah.
And you know, we've got to, as parents and aunts and uncles, be prepared to teach mm-hmm. what and why we believe for the Christian faith. We just have to do it, because who else is doing that? And once they are affirmed that they do matter, that Christ does love them, that there is purpose for them, I think 1 Peter 3:15, in your hearts honor Christ the Lord is holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you. And yet do it with gentleness and respect. I don't think you have to be a great apologist to simply respond to somebody, I know it's true. My life has changed. I have peace.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that we need to speak back and break their rules. And, you know, again, speaking in Christian schools, man, they just as soon, you know, bring out the army against you. But because why? Because it's protected from families and parents. Parents can't go into the classroom. Yeah. They won't even talk to them half the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And where do you go? I mean, where do we go? Steve, you've got kids in high school still. Where do you go to levy a complaint or talk to some people about this? I'm not sure there's much of anything we can do as far as schools go. Who's going to listen to us?
Well, Nancy, you've talked with kids for years through your ministry, Anchors Away, and teaching biblical worldview. What I would like for you to do now is break it down. Give us some practical ways that we can really reach postmoderns with the gospel, because, you know, some of them really are resistant to what the absolute truth is. And I would like to think, you know, because you mentioned this, obviously, we are all made in the image of God. These kids are looking for something to believe in. Part of me really desperately wants to believe that they're holding so tight to what they do believe that's contrary to the truth, because they're looking for some kind of truth to hold tight to, and that may be why they're so resistant. But they're holding on to lies in some cases. Talk about some practical ways that we can really reach these kids without maybe butting heads, because I think, you know, to a degree, we as Christians, even with some of our kids who are Christians who are being led astray, I think both sides come into these conversations preparing to butt heads, and we can't go in with that kind of a mindset. So what are some practical ways that we really can approach those conversations without getting into a headbutting session right from the get-go?
Yeah, we all know what those headbutting sessions look like and where they go, which is no place. You know, I've done a lot of thinking about this, and 90% of kids walk away from their faith by the time they're 21. It's not good. And most of this comes through college, and I don't know what other sources, of course, the media and social media and all that. But there are some things that we can do. And we talked about it the other day when we were talking about listening. But I think the key to talking with postmoderns who don't know Jesus as their Savior, and I'm sorry, parents, they've grown up in a Christian home. And if their testimony about being Christian is because they grew up in a home, it's not good enough. It just isn't. And so I think most of them do not know Jesus as their Savior. They know Jesus as a person that lived on earth and died on the cross. But how can we talk to them about Jesus and what it means to be Jesus, and how do you stand up to those that don't believe and are giving you trouble? But I think for those postmoderns who are pushing back against us, and they're our kids or nieces or nephews, I think it's critical that we begin by just talking with them and saying, I would like to learn more about what you believe. Tell me where you are. What do you believe? Who is this Jesus? I'm just curious. Tell me from where you're coming. And if you don't believe, I understand. But just tell me why. Who got into you? What happened in you that made you believe so solidly and so adamantly that there is no God? And I think we don't do that with our kids. We don't take the time to ask what you think. And, you know, and I think this idea of lecturing, it doesn't work with them. But if they say, they just tell me or what causes you to stumble in your faith, what has, and they might say, because you and dad fight all the time. And I'm telling you, that's a huge reason why a lot of these kids are stumbling in their faith. They go to church on Sunday with their parents, and then the parents fight all the time. And it gives them huge anxiety. I'm just being honest here. And so sometimes parents, we've got to take that into account and straighten that up as best we can. But I think we need to ask them questions and not judge them for their answers. Soak it in and be that person that will listen without telling them what they have to do next, yeah. or just whatever. But the thing is, most of us have a story that no one has asked about. And I'll just say this for me personally. I went 32 years hating Christians and of course, terrified that God was for real because he didn't save my brother who drowned. You know, I mean, my theology was upside down. And as a result, how could Christians be so stupid to love this God? You know, so I'm sure there are a lot of people with me. I was 32 years old in my search of trying to figure out who God was before a single person asked me, tell me your story. Why don't you believe me? First one. And from that point, it was the beginning of the end of my atheism. Because I realized somebody had compassion for me and I wasn't guilty and I shouldn't feel shame for that. But we have stories. Parents, we need to ask our kids their story. And we need to show compassion. We need to ask forgiveness if necessary, you know. But I think the most important thing is that we have to be solid in our own faith and be opening to answer questions about God or some other topic or some other Christian faith. And if we don't know the answer, go and find the answer from somebody who has done their homework or whatever. Yeah. But we the kids have questions and they don't feel that they can ask them. And I just think that we need to work hard in parenting in that way. I remember when our kids were young, I was convinced none of their friends had parents that drove. I was driving carpools till I thought I was going to die. But, again, that's what I worry about, the schedule and getting kids here and there and the other. And finally, we had to take time out in the morning, early morning, before my husband left for work and just pray together, read a little scripture. And I'm telling you, it paid off in spades.
Well, it's our responsibility to build into them and to combat that postmodern thinking. And then as Christians, to be good listeners and engage with people to learn their story. They're not going to care about what we have to say until they know that we actually care about them first. That's just truly how it is. And that's what we must do to engage them. But this is it's an important question because right now, yes, there is no acceptance of the one truth, the truth, T-R-U-T-H, mm-hmm. That every single person is made in the image of God and that there is a plan, purpose, and a design, and it all fits within God's plan, purpose, and design for his creation. And when we cooperate, amazing things happen. And that's what people need to know, regardless of their age, but in particular, when we can capture them and help them understand that when they are younger. That is so vitally important. And the work that you're doing through Anchors Away is so important. And if you want to find out more about Anchors Away, where are we going to go, Kelly?
I'm going to go to anchorsaway.org. That's where you'll find a lot of great resources there from Nancy. And you'll learn about training in biblical worldview, which, by the way, too, all of our audio from these biblical worldview questions of the week, you'll be able to access that there as well. And you'll find it also at kellyandsteve.org by clicking on the resources tab. So check it all out there, anchorsaway.org, and join us again next Tuesday for our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week with Nancy Fitzgerald.